Right now, we're joined by an extra special guest, good friend of Jason and mine. This is Michael Bolden. He's with the 10th Amendment Center, 10thamendmentcenter.com. It was founded back in 2006 with the purpose of educating the public and giving them strategies on how they can utilize state legislatures in order to push back on unconstitutional and tyrannical federal action. And I got to tell you, they're really picking up some steam and some traction with their Nullify Now tours, nullifynow.com. The Foundation for a Free Society at MyFreeSociety.com has hopped on board as one of the primary sponsors. Jason and I have been to several of their events. We've really had a great time, and the turnout has been phenomenal, and there's a lot of buzz going on about this 10th Amendment. So we wanted to bring Michael Bolden on today. We hung out with him last weekend up in Arizona, but we wanted to cover some of the big news going on with this healthcare latest ruling. Everybody's celebrating like we're saved now. The Republicans saved the day.
Hooray!
But that's just not the case. So we're going to bring you some unique insight from the Michael Bolden. How are you, Mr. Bolden?
I am awesome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Well, what are your thoughts, man? I mean, we've got this. It looks like a victory. Says that the healthcare legislation, or at least the mandate, is unconstitutional. So is that it? Is this thing going down in flames now?
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody's going to be free. We're going to be able to live our life the way we want to, as long as we don't violate someone else's rights. The world is saved. There's peace and prosperity. We're all going to be rich, and liberty reigns because of one dude wearing a black dress on some court in Florida.
Good.
Not happening. I mean, even if the Supremes uphold this decision, I think it's junk. And I wrote a blog post over at blog.10thamendmentcenter.com, and we actually issued a press release for a formal statement from the center as well, basically saying that I guess the big question is this really a victory for freedom, or is it a Trojan horse, like I see most court rulings to be? And I think it's more of the latter. And the key statement that Judge Vinson, even though he struck down the entire law, he said, quote, "Without doubt, Congress has the power to reform and regulate the healthcare market." Well, so what they're doing is they're saying, well, okay, you can't do this particular mandate thing, but you sure do have the power to do basically just about anything else you want about healthcare. And I've read the Constitution. It's in plain English. I see nothing authorizing them to be involved in this industry, or most industries for that matter.
Well, you know, you bring up a great point. And it's funny, like, I think some conservatives started a Facebook fan page for this guy the other day. I came across it and I'm like, really? God. And his quote, actually, that you guys have on this blog post, he says, "I must reluctantly conclude." Now, that got me thinking, why is he reluctantly concluding? He was trying to find a way to keep this constitutional, but Jeez. He just couldn't do it, or what? And then he goes on and says what you said. And the idea here is that he says, you know, because it's 1/6 of the national economy, you know, without doubt, Congress has the power to reform and regulate this market. So it's really just about, hey, the Congress can do this. We just don't like how they're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But let's put this into practice for, let's say, like gun laws. Let's say I own a Kimber 40 handgun and the federal government decides to pass a law that says only Kimber 40s are illegal. And then it goes to Judge Vinson, the great savior of liberty in Florida, and he makes a ruling similar to this healthcare ruling. You know what it would sound like? It would say, well, I must reluctantly conclude that Congress has exceeded their authority. But that's not to say that Congress is without power to control guns. You know, guns are prevalent, and there's millions of them around the country. So Congress undoubtedly has the authority to make regulations, rules, or ban guns. They just can't ban this particular one. And that's about as good as it gets. They're basically giving us, I don't know, it's like appeasement. They're throwing us one little bone, and everybody's jumping for joy, but they're not paying attention to the fact that he's just entrenched in law once again that the federal government has the authority to do just about anything, not this one mandate.
Sure. Now, you mentioned the handguns. Isn't this the exact same thing that we saw with the Supreme Court, the Heller case, which said that, yes, it affirmed individuals' rights to own guns, and the NRA and all the gun owners jumped for joy. But then at the same time, the court ruling also said that the states and the government, the federal government, has the authority to regulate individual firearm ownership, which is contrary to the Second Amendment. Is that the same thing?
Man, you are taking my talking points right out of my mouth. This is what they do over and over, whether it's healthcare, guns, growing a plant, or whatever it may be. They do the same thing. They may say one thing because it's so egregious and it's so obvious and so many people are opposed to it and strike down some law, but every time they're doing something, you got to just read through it and you'll find something that's expanding their power almost every time.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about this sometimes on here about the Hegelian dialectic, where we talk about this idea that, you know, maybe in the end, they put forth a healthcare bill that's so egregious and bad and terrible that they know it's going to get struck down, that they know it's going to be stripped of a lot of the problems that people have with it. And what's going to be left with is 70% of what we have now. And everyone's going to be like, well, you know, that's way better than what we had. And so that seems to be the process where it's sort of incremental and they come out the chute with something that they know is not going to stand up. But then eventually they get what they want anyway, which is sort of a trimmed down version of it that still is really, you know, unconstitutional at the core.
And the steady march towards totalitarianism continues. And it doesn't matter what political party's in power or what individual occupies the White House, that federal power always grows. And this should be a lesson for us. In my view, we should not be looking to the federal politicians to limit federal power. We should not be looking to federal judges to limit federal power. We should not vote bums out in the hopes that new bums are going to say no to all that power we just handed to them. We need to start standing up for our rights on our own. The 10th Amendment Center finds the best way to do this to be working with state legislatures that are willing to say no to the federal government. But on the bottom line really is that we as individuals need to stand up for our rights with or without permission from Washington, D.C.
That's right. That's right. And we just Leo Berman, of course, just introduced a healthcare nullification bill. And I'm sure you're familiar with it. Is this a genuine nullification of the entire Obamacare, not just the mandate?
We're extremely familiar with the bill because the bill is the 10th Amendment Center's model legislation.
Yeah.
There are now 11 states that are introducing our legislation, Idaho, Wyoming, Maine, Oregon, and a number of others along with Texas. And yeah, this is a genuine nullification bill. It's not saying like many states last year passed the Healthcare Freedom Act to say no just to the mandate. Well, we see the entire Obamacare bill top to bottom, word for word, as being unconstitutional. And this bill says the entire bill violates the true meaning of the Constitution, is hereby declared to be invalid in the state, shall not be recognized by the state, is rejected by the state, and shall be considered null and void and of no effect in the state. And you know what? Any federal agent violating that law would go to jail.
Well, Michael, you know, we had Tom Woods on here a couple of months ago, and he talked about nullification. But I just realized, you know, there might be some listeners out there who don't really understand what nullification is. Can you kind of define that a little bit and what the concept is and why this is sort of having a resurgence right now?
Absolutely. Well, nullification is Thomas Jefferson's remedy to the essential question, or at least what I think is the essential question. When government violates the rules given to it, and for us, that's the Constitution, what do we do about it? And I ask those questions. Do we go to the federal government to fix problems of the federal government? Well, no. Thomas Jefferson gave us the advice in his second declaration, not the Declaration of Independence, but the Kentucky Resolutions of 1798, when he said, quote, "Whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, a nullification of the act is the rightful remedy." That means the people of the several states or the people of your state need to stand up and say no, reject, and nullify. Do anything to make null and void a federal act which violates the Constitution and thus your liberty.
Gotcha. So this is a power that is still reserved to the states. The states still have the right to do this, but it's something that's sort of been buried down the memory hole of history. I mean, most people have never even heard of these resolutions.
Well, and you know, and that's really the problem with government-run schools. I mean, I grew up in a government school, so I came out a good commie for many years. but the government doesn't want to teach you that there's ways to limit its own power in its own schools. I mean, I hate to go right to the Hitler thing, but Hitler often said, you know, you may think one way, but I've got your children.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. And that's where the real damage is going to be done.
I think there's a whole other element of this nullification and states' rights push that often gets overlooked, and that's, you know, a lot of people are opposed to what's happening in the halls of Congress because the halls of Congress have the most power, or, you know, operationally they have the most power, while they shouldn't. So people focus on what's going on up there. But a lot of people don't realize that they literally have the ability to influence their local and state government so much stronger and so much harder than they can the federal government. For example, the 2011 legislative session is underway here at the Capitol, and you could literally walk up to the Capitol, knock on every single one of the representatives' doors. You might even be able to meet with a couple of them there, meet with their chiefs of staff. And it's really empowering just to go up there face to face and talk to these people. Whereas I just saw U.S. congressional representatives represent about 700,000 people per each representative. The state reps, I'm not exactly sure what the ratio plays out to be, but it's definitely monumentally lower than that. So your vote counts a lot more, but they're just so much more accessible. They live in your community. So it's really important that we get out there to these state houses and teach these people about state sovereignty. A lot of them aren't even aware what state sovereignty is. And we have an opportunity to use a lot of the tools that the 10th Amendment Center provides for us, 10thamendmentcenter.com, in order to educate these folks and in order to push back.
Well, we're heading right into a break, but we're going to come back with Michael Bolden. We want to find out how this guy out in Lefty, California started figuring out this whole liberty gig and what inspired him to start the 10th Amendment Center. Also find out what he thinks some of the most exciting things are that are happening across the country regarding nullification of the 10th Amendment. So again, this is Live Free Austin every week from 2 to 3 p.m. on Saturdays. Jason Rink and John Bush, and we'll be right back.
Are you tired of big government treading on your liberty? Well, so are we. We're Brave New Books, the fiercest independent bookstore in Austin. Located a block south of UT Austin, Brave New Books not only carries the information you need to be ahead of the curve, but we also have water filters, storable food, and superfoods that help you put your health back into your own hands. Contact us at 480-2503, at bravenewbookstore.com, or stop by at 1904 Guadalupe Street.
More energy. Stronger immune power. Improved sense of well-being. How many supplements have you heard boast of these benefits? The team behind Centrition believes that supplements should over-deliver on their promises. And Centrition does just that. Centrition utilizes the ancient healing wisdom of Chinese medicine in conjunction with the science of modern nutrition. Adaptogenic herbs serve as the healing component, and organic hemp protein and greens and superfoods act as a balanced nutrient base. Plus, Centrition tastes great in just water. This powder supplement is everything you'd want in a product, and it's all natural. Visit Centrition.com to order yours or call 1-866-497-7436. After you use Centrition, you'll believe in supplements again.
Welcome back to Live Free Austin, the Live Free Austin radio show, every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. on 98.9 The Big Talker. And again, folks, we are also being simulcast on LRN.FM. That's Liberty Radio Network, coming to you out of New Hampshire. They also got great programs like Ernie Hancock's Declare Your Independence, 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time, and also the Free Talk Live Radical Anarchist program you could check out every evening. And again, that's LRN.FM. But right now we're joined by Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center, 10thamendmentcenter.com, and also the Nullify Now tours, which are sweeping all across the country. There's going to be one here in Austin, Texas, which is going to give you a different flavor, not just the conservative pushback on healthcare thing, but we're going to be focusing on marijuana nullification and stuff like that. So you can learn about that at nullifynow.com. But that leads me to a great question for you, Michael. Now, the 10th Amendment Center was started back in 06. And your average American probably thinks this Nullify and 10th Amendment states' rights phenomenon is a right-wing phenomenon.
Because you're a bunch of racists.
Yeah, they're painting it out there, painting a picture. But I think you, as a person, really personify the idea of a genuine liberty-minded individual that doesn't see the left or right colors, that really breaks through it and sees how these tools, this nullification, this decentralization, this states' rights can really help genuine individual liberty, not just for these particular pet issues. So maybe you could give us a little background about how you got involved. Were you a big fan of Bush? Why'd you start in 06? I thought this 10th Amendment thing was a right-wing thing. Tell us what's that all about.
Well, I started the 10th Amendment Center, and I can give two words to describe it. Maybe another letter. George W. Bush. The Constitution codifies in law that we, the people of several states, created the federal government to be our agent for certain enumerated purposes and nothing more. And that doesn't mean that those purposes can be twisted by a Republican or a Democrat. It means that it needs to be followed every issue, every time, no exceptions, no excuses. And whether it's foreign policy or bailouts or the Patriot Act or spying or warrantless wiretapping or whatever it may be, just like everybody else and every other president and every other administration, it's almost never that the Constitution is followed. So we created the organization back then, and it's kind of funny when you look back on the feedback that we would get back then by email. Mm-hmm. We'd have a lot of right-wingers say, you better move to Cuba, you commies, because we're opposing the federal government. So we must have hated America, or we were with the terrorists back when Bush was in power, and now that Obama's in power, the talking heads say, if you oppose the federal government or every expansion of centralized power, you must hate black people. But the reality is, and you'd mentioned marijuana nullification, the reality is that it's the centralizers that hate minorities because their twisted version of the Commerce Clause that allows them to control everything that moves and no government should be trusted with such power has resulted in hundreds of thousands of people being arrested every year with their unconstitutional drug war, disproportionately minorities. So the real reality is decentralization expands freedom, not because local or state governments are some bastions of freedom and filled with liberty lovers. It's just that we can control them much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're much closer to the people. And the idea here is that different communities and different states can have different laws and different people who believe different things living in them. That's not a bad thing. I think that's probably what the founders were going for. And so, you know, the marijuana issue is interesting because that is something that's popped up across the country as a issue where the states have pushed back against the federal government, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I was quoted in an article in Politico this last week, and the word is, hey, I can describe this movement in one word, and it's weed. And they tend to laugh at that when I say it, but it's true, because if we really want to see how this whole nullification thing plays out, all we have to do is look at California's medical marijuana. About 15 years ago, they passed this law saying people could smoke weed for certain limited purposes. The federal government says, no, you can't. Supremacy clause, federal law is supreme no matter what. Well, the Californians did it anyway. So guess what? The federal government kept pushing back, and it ended up going to court. It went all the way to the Supreme Court, where, you know, people like the great Judge Vinson are going to protect us. And guess what? The Supreme Court said if you grow six plants in your backyard, you never buy them or sell them, and you consume them in your own home, that's somehow interstate commerce. And at the time that the Supreme Court ruled that all state marijuana laws were illegal, there were 10 states that had them. Since then, not a single one has been repealed, and five more states has gotten on board. The reality is when enough people say no to Washington, D.C., and enough states pass laws backing them up, there's not much that Washington can do.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us who Roscoe Filburn was?
Oh, Roscoe's a hero, man. Well, in some ways he is to me. He's a guy that grew wheat in the FDR administration. During the FDR administration. And what happened was FDR wanted to kind of do what all the other politicians do, you know, give some bonuses to some favorite backers, some corporations, by forcing price controls to raise the cost of wheat. And what they did was they said each farmer, you can only grow so much wheat, so many acres. Let's say it was 10. I can't remember the exact number. And you can only do that and engage in interstate commerce. So Roscoe grew his 10 and he sold them out on the normal market like he would. But then he realized, wow, I'm hungry. My farm, the animals, they need food too. So he grew another 10, and he didn't sell them, and he kept them on his own property with the idea that, you know, the federal government is only authorized to regulate commerce that crosses state jurisdictional boundaries. Well, he wasn't engaged in commerce, and nothing was crossing anything, even his own property. So he did it. Well, the federal thugs showed up like they normally do when you stand up and say no to them. And they said, you got to destroy your food at a time when millions of people were out of work. People were starving. That's what governments do. They force you to destroy food. So this is another one that went all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, Roscoe, poor guy, you know, here's a farmer in Ohio just trying to stand up and say no. But it's one guy against the machine. And the Supreme Court ruled in a famous case called Wickard versus Filburn that the federal government could basically control the growth of a plant in one's own backyard because it somehow affected commerce. Well, he wasn't buying other people's wheat by growing his own. And this was the precedent for the marijuana decision that said six plants in your backyard are illegal, which was the precedent for somehow, and they always say commerce clause, for forcing someone to buy health care. It all connects, and every time we turn a blind eye to expanded federal power, it's used against us in worse and worse ways in the future.
Yeah, and this is a great point, because so many times the partisan politics gets involved and the people on the right are like, no, we can't have marijuana legal. But they don't understand that the same principle that prevented Roscoe Filburn from growing and consuming his own wheat is the same, you know, legislation or the same maneuver that's been used for health care and all these other things. And it's the same thing that's used for marijuana. And so you just have to support personal liberty and freedom. You don't have to grow marijuana if it becomes legal to do so. It's just really about restoring our individual liberties and rights mm-hmm. and being able to exercise them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And unfortunately, in this country, with our two-party dominated system, a lot of people, they take more pride and more loyalty in the party as opposed to the Constitution or their individual liberty. And we just see them get trapped. So that's why I think the beauty of the 10th Amendment Center is, and the beauty of Michael Bolden, and you know, to toot our own horns, the beauty of Jason Rink and John Bush and the Live Free Austin radio show is the C word, consistency. If you're able to stay consistent, regardless of who's in office, regardless of who holds the majority, then you'll be able to find and you'll be able to see through those disloyalties, and you'll really be able to push back and get to the core issue. So that's why we appreciate the 10th Amendment Center so much, because you guys have held consistency. You have held to your consistency, and you've stuck to your roots, being loyal to the Constitution, not loyal to this party.
Well, one thing that John Adams, I'm not a huge fan of him, said that was awesome, I thought, many years ago. He said, you know, I'm going to basically argue with every political party and each person that is involved in them before I, quote, subjugate my understanding or prostitute my tongue or pen to either. Basically, we need to stand up for what's right, no matter what the political parties are doing.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's great. And, you know, the founders were pretty radical guys. I mean, they had their faults, but you look back and you see some of the prescient wisdom they had of understanding where things were going to go once we lost sight of and lost our discernment to understand what the threats to liberty were. So, you know, I want to ask you now, this Nullify Now tour, we just had this in Phoenix. We joined you for it. That was, I think, the fourth city. It's about another eight or so on the calendar. I'm not quite sure. Can you tell us about that tour, where the next stops are? We've only got about a minute left in the broadcast, but just, you know, let people know what's going on there and where they can find out more about what you guys are doing.
All right, here's 10 minutes jammed into 60 seconds. Nullify Now, nullifynow.com answers the essential question. It gets people together in one place to answer that question. What do we do when the federal government violates the limits given to it? We were just in Phoenix. We're going to be in Cincinnati and New Hampshire in March, St. Paul, Minnesota in April, there in Austin on April 16, Los Angeles in May, and many others are coming up. So go to nullifynow.com to get more info.
Thanks a lot, Michael. Again, that's 10thamendmentcenter.com, nullifynow.com. The Foundation for a Free Society, which sponsors the show, will also be sponsoring the Austin event on April 16th. We're going to have Michael Bolden on again shortly before then. We want to thank you for coming on, and we also want to thank you for tuning in to the listeners. Be sure to check out next week's show. We're going to have Stuart Rhodes of oathkeepers.org, oathkeepers.org, and that's sure to be a great, wonderful program. So again, this is Live Free Austin. Every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m., Jason Ring, John Bush, and as always, asking you to live free, Austin.
Don't worry about a thing.
Attention, Big Talker listeners. Want to get the real information on the agenda behind the Obama administration's policies? Brave New Books, Austin's own fiercely independent bookstore, has the resources you need to understand the Federal Reserve, international banking, and the forces behind President Obama. Brave New Books is located a block south of UT at 1904 Guadalupe Street. Contact us at 480-2503 or at bravenewbookstore.com.